by believing that, that's what ends up happening. Why I think that we all fall into that pitfall of making those promises. And it's not because of any, you know, reason behind it, but we want to do what's best for others. And that's the legacy that I want to leave. I think we all want to leave. It's not about me, it's about us, right? And
The 100 Stop series, created by hundreds and hundreds of authors. The 100 No-Nonsense book for teachers to stop doing certain things just came out in May. And other books are coming. The 100 No-Nonsense books for school leaders and parents and students, written by students and school board members and politicians and even international schools. What are the things we can stop doing to still celebrate teaching and all be on the same page for education? Follow hashtag 100 Stop Series. We appreciate everything that you do and thank you for your service to kids.
Hello, and welcome to Season 3, Episode 41 of Coaching You Through All Things Education Podcast. We are continuing our series, PD in Your Pocket, where we unpack key do's or don'ts from the hashtag 100 Stop series compiled by Dr. Rick Jenner and edited by Rebecca Cota. We are so excited to have with us today Dr. Amy McCrindle. Amy is the Assistant Superintendent in Huntley School District 158 in Illinois, and she's a contributing author to Chapter 67 in the hashtag 100 Stop Series book, 100 No-Nonsense Things That All Teachers Should Stop Doing. Welcome to the podcast, Amy.
Thank you so very much for having me.
Oh, indeed. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and the work that you do?
Absolutely. So I have been in education for about 15 years. I think we're coming up on 15 years. And through that time, I have had the opportunity to be a classroom teacher with middle school. Love that age group. Eighth graders were my favorite. And then from there, I moved into a coaching position where I was able to work with teachers and how to be the best that we can be in regards to our practices and our instruction that we do with kids every day.
Absolutely.
And then I transitioned over and was an administrator at the middle school level and then an elementary principal. And then I've been over in Huntley District 158 for the last 4 years. And I started as a director of curriculum, working with K-12 and focusing in on elementary and helping support our administrators and staff. And then recently I stepped into a new role as assistant superintendent for elementary learning and innovation, where I'm able to really help impact and grow and work with our teachers and staff and admin to make all kids always succeed and have an impact.
Yes. Well, first of all, congratulations on your new role. It sounds like you have been making an impact, right? Even when you started back in the classroom, and your journey has led you to this current position to impact across the district. So that's very awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
Oh, indeed. All right, well, let's dive into our book, right? You are responsible for, or were responsible for, Chapter 67, Stop Making Promises That You Can't Keep. What are the key points of your chapter? And please share some of the reasons behind why you chose this topic.
Yeah, so I think that as educators, we all go into it wanting to do what's best for everyone else. And we want to say yes. Very rarely do we want to say no, because we feel like we are there to impact our students and then their families. And we feel guilty whenever we say something, we have to say no, or we need to take that step back. And I definitely have been there many times, and I think I live in that world every now and then still.
It happens, right?
Yes, but what I've learned is we make these promises, and we can't do it all. We need to value ourselves and think about ourselves and our own social emotional health and be able to make those decisions and not feel bad about saying no or not doing something. Because when we make those promises that we know that we can't keep or we're not going to be able to give our whole attention to, then we end up letting people down. And then it just starts this recursive cycle of, you know, feeling bad about that and then them expecting something from you. And then it's okay to say no. It's okay to not be the end all be all and not be able to be perfect all the time. And so I think we all, you know, we all struggle with that as educators. And it's something that we need to own up on and realize that we can say no. And we don't need to say yes to absolutely everything. And when someone comes up and asks, you know, to do something in my chapter, if, when you take a glance at that, I provide some different scenarios of just things that I think happen out of the blue. So one of the first scenarios was a parent who is upset with the fact that their child can't read at grade level. And that does happen, right? And it happens to all of us. And so the first response as a teacher or as a leader is, we're going to fix your child. We are going to help make that so that then they are reading. Sometimes it's just not, they're not going to make the progress that's needed. And so by saying that our intentions were great, that we want to show that we're supportive, that we're there to help move the child along, but we gave this false sense of hope to a parent who it might not actually happen. And so then that kind of starts to steamroll and cause some issues. So in regards to that, I went out from that lens of communication and that it's not, you don't want to communicate that we're going to quote unquote fix the child or help them be able to read or be perfect or be at that grade level, but we want to show that we're going to help support them through that. And it's okay to not make that promise.
Oh, that's an excellent point. And I think that, you know, you spoke about reading as a specific example, any subject, you know, it happens, you know, like you said, we think instinctively to be the fixer, you know, but like you said, it might involve a team of people. It might involve something else in order for that child to progress. And so, you know, to make false promises, you know, not intentionally, but unintentionally creates, like, as you said, a bigger problem for everyone, really.
Absolutely. And I think the other angle in the chapter is it goes from that people pleaser piece. I think that we all, right, we're educators, we want to do what's best. We're going to go spend, you know, lots of money at Dollar Store all summer of our own to help build the classroom and make sure it looks pretty and change the theme. That's who we are. But when you're first into a new role, especially, or as a teacher, even if when someone comes to ask you to do something, you want to say yes. So one of my examples was, let's say that the principal comes in and they're like, we need you to step up and do this. And we need to have this this goal. We need to accomplish this. And then you want to say yes. And you don't want to say no because you don't want to let them down either. And so by saying we're going to do this without speaking up and being able to show that there are other, you know, things that come into play with setting boundaries and that sometimes other pieces come in where maybe the classroom makeup that you have that year is just very unique or it's special and totally different and you just can't do it. And so you want to make sure that at the end of the day that your integrity stands and that you don't feel pressured into saying yes all the time where it's because you're afraid to say no because you're going to let that person down.
Right. And I think that you make an excellent point, you know, when you think of your supervisors, right? Your principal's pretty big deal, you know, and then of course, you know, you were in central office, you know, there are people that you think that you have to say yes to. Well, you know, you have to, like you said, say yes to immediately, right? Without even thinking about what's ahead or how that's possible or whatever. But you're giving us that peace of mind and knowing that it's better for us to search our souls, right? And be able to stand by our word, whatever that is, than to give false hope again, right? to your administrator. Because, I mean, we're human. People are moving, there's circumstances, there's all kinds of reasons, like you said, for why the year or the even the week might not progress the way is planned. And so that's really comforting, I think, to a lot of our listeners, you know, to know that even you in your position feel that same way. Because I think sometimes it's a matter of communicating that. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? When it's not that people don't feel that way, it's just sometimes we don't hear it. Our educators on the grassroots, right, level don't always hear that and know that. But like you said, it's not beneficial to anyone.
Right. Absolutely.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go. See, we've got a good nuggets, folks, listening today. All right. Well, what are three teaching and learning takeaways or strategies that you can offer our listening audience?
Yeah, so when you go back and read that chapter, and I strongly encourage you to do it, there are five different scenarios that I did include within the chapter. And each of them are just different examples of how unintentionally, we make a promise and it's not like we're saying, I promise to be there, but by just the action or the way we react to something, people feel like you've promised that. And so I think some of the pieces that I definitely want to take away from that teaching and learning perspective is that even though your intentions are, we're always 100% altruistic, we want to make sure that what we're doing is the best for kids and that we're recommending that.
That's right.
When we don't, like you said, speak up, and if we're not honest, then what ends up happening is other things do not happen. So there are pitfalls. You make a promise, it doesn't happen. You don't remember a commitment. That you following up on it, it just doesn't happen. And so I think one of the biggest pieces is being able to recognize and be that filter for yourself of when to say yes, when to say no, and feeling okay that it's, you don't need to do that. Because I put in there that broken promises and commitments impact you as much as those that you disappoint. Mm-hmm. And so there's always that sense of, yes, I said I would do it, but then there's someone is going to be disappointed, and it's either you feeling upset that, you know, let down that you let someone else down, or the other people. And so I think that that's one big point to it, is just recognizing that. Mm-hmm. The other piece that I would definitely want to drill into is that it's okay to be selective in the promises you make. As educators, we need to have work-life balance. You have, you know, you might have family, friends, you have your own personal health, you have your own mental health, but then you have your students who are your family and you're right within your classroom. And you've got to be able to be selective in that and make those decisions so that you can be on your best game for kids every day. And it's hard, but you deserve it. We deserve it. The kids deserve it, right?
Right.
And then I think that third piece, if you're asking for my third, I guess, piece of there is, I think that a lot of time gets spent into putting out fires versus if we would have just learned to not overpromise and underdeliver, right? Then you wouldn't spend that time putting out the fires or making up for it or trying to quickly compensate because some ball got dropped. And so I think those are the three pieces I definitely would take away is, by doing this, you're going to be able to be a better teacher, be able to be with your students in your classroom, put your attention where it needs to be, and also be able to have that work-life balance that we all need and I think that we crave in order to generate trust. And by doing that, it generates trust in yourself and also from other people kind of seeing that.
Oh, indeed. Okay. We got our nuggets, folks. No, seriously, those were all really important points. Again, that people needed to hear and need to say it to themselves, you know, throughout the entire school year, right? And summer. All right, here we go. Our final question is trending on the podcast. If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what legacy message would you print on it and why?
Man, this question is a tough one because it is just so important, right? I think the legacy message that I leave will actually help us all understand why I wrote the chapter I wrote too. But it's not as much about what we do for ourselves, but what we do for others. And that's what's essential. And that's what I truly believe and I root myself in, But I'm going to just say that by believing that, that's what ends up happening. Why I think that we all fall into that pitfall of making those promises. And it's not because of any, you know, reason behind it, but we want to do what's best for others. And that's the legacy that I want to leave. I think we all want to leave. It's not about me. It's about us. Right. And I think that that's why that's what spurred me to write this chapter and be so passionate connected to it, because I think that thought coupled with you want to, by doing that, you need to do things. And so then, but I've got to be able to figure out, and we all do, how to balance that and make sure that we do the right things and keep that balance.
Yes. Oh my goodness. So true. You know, I'm actually have nothing to say after that because I'm so blown away. No, because you really touched a lot of people, I think, there where the bottom line is we want to do for others, right? There are going to be these catch-22s because of that, right? And we just have to be mindful, right? Be mindful of ourselves, what we stand for, right? And what legacies we want to leave. So thank you so much. Oh my goodness, for joining us today on the podcast. Wowee.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, indeed. And best of luck to you in the school year.
Thank you. You too. Oh, it'll be our best one yet.
That's right. Oh, it's going to be.
It will.
All right.